All right, so let's now proceed with the preaching of the word. Let us pray. Our dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity that we can feast on your truth as a church. Thank you for the freedom that we continually enjoy in our nation. Sunday after Sunday, we can be gathered like this, unhindered, to listen, to study your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher today, that you will guide us, that you will illumine our minds, that you will soften our hardened hearts, that whatever message that you have in store for us today, you will make clear your message to us. And Lord, I pray for your servant. Use me as your mouthpiece today. I am not worthy to stand here before your people, but I pray, Lord, that you will consume me for the glory of your name. Grant me your wisdom. Grant me your strength. Grant me your guidance. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you. So for today, we will continue with the mini-series that I have mentioned that I will be doing every time I'll be given the opportunity to stand before you. So last time, I was able to share to you Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 7. We looked at the church in Ephesus. I have mentioned there that the preaching of Pastor Athan inspired me to study the seven churches again. He shared the seventh church. That's why I had that burden to make the other six churches as a series. But when I was reviewing the churches, Pastor Robbie already preached on the church in Thyatira, if you remember right. But anyway, for today, we will look at the second church. So last time, I have also given you the purpose of the book. So from the title itself, it is the revelation. And primarily, the book of Revelation is the revelation of the exaltation of Jesus Christ. And the author of the book, we have seen last time, is none other than Apostle John. And when he wrote this book, he was in Patmos. Why? Because he was exiled. Exiled because of preaching the word of God. But when he was in worship, in an attitude of worship, the Lord spoke to him. And in that conversation with the Lord gave the messages. And the Lord mentioned to him that he must now give these revelations. So things that happened and things that happened during that conversation with John, and that is seen in the first chapter, things that are happening in the seven churches, which can be seen from chapter 2 to chapter 3, and the things that would still be coming for the churches from chapter 4 to the last chapter. Okay? And if you will recall, also, I have given this map last time. So the seven churches are located in this manner. And according to them, this is actually the best, how the books or how the seven churches were arranged in the book of Revelation is also the best postal route during that time. So we have already seen the church in Ephesus. So for today, we will look at the second church, which is the church in Smyrna. And looking at this map, Smyrna is just above Ephesus, okay? It's just above Ephesus. So it's very near, and we will look at some details later of Smyrna. But unlike the book of, or unlike the church in Ephesus, there were details given about the church in Acts 18 to 20, and we have seen many of those details when I shared to you the first part of this series. However, for today, the church in Smyrna was not mentioned in the Bible, except for the book of Revelation. You will not find the church of Smyrna being mentioned in the book of Acts, unlike the church in Ephesus and the other churches. However, when this church of Smyrna was mentioned, it was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking already. So for today, our text will be Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 11. So will you please open your Bibles with me to that passage, Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 11. So I'll be reading from the ESV. "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death." Praise God for His word. The letters given by the Lord Jesus Christ for the churches, as was mentioned in the first part of the series, those letters come in a common format. So it always would start with Jesus introducing who He is. He used different names for the different churches. And if you will remember when I was discussing the church in Ephesus, I mentioned there that it is very important to mention from whom the letter is, because it will give the authority of the message given in the letter. And in the letter for the Ephesus, the Lord described Himself as the one who holds the lampstands. And we saw the significance of that, because when He was already dealing with the church in Ephesus, He mentioned that if you will not repent, I will remove the lampstand. So because He is the one holding the lampstands, He has also the authority to remove the lampstand. So that's the significance of the title of who from whom the letter is given. And after the title of from whom the letter is coming, we have the commendation. And then after the commendation will be condemnation or rebuke, if there is a need for condemnation or rebuke. But for today, in the church of Smyrna, this is one of the churches wherein the Lord Jesus Christ did not give any condemnation. Unlike the church in Ephesus. Remember the church in Ephesus? The Lord was acknowledging, I know your works. I know your toiling. I know how you have been so faithful with the word, how you have been guarding the word. But this is something I have against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember that? But for the church in Smyrna, you will not find a condemnation given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then after the condemnation, of course, word of encouragement and the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ for the churches. So, for today, as we will now be looking at the church in Smyrna, let me first entitle the preaching today as Tribulation, a Catalyst to Faith. So when we say catalyst, a catalyst is an agent that provokes significant change or action to something. So if you will look at the title is already giving away the entire message that we will have today. We will be talking about tribulation, and tribulation is now used to strengthen our faith. So that's already a giveaway. From the title, I'm already giving away the message for today. We will be talking about tribulation, and we will be talking how tribulation should affect our faith. And we will look at the example in the church in Smyrna. So the church that we will look at again is the church in Smyrna. As I have mentioned earlier, there was no mention of the church in Smyrna in the book of Acts. But if we will look at Smyrna, the place itself, that's just 35 miles north of Ephesus, so very close to Ephesus, and it's a large and wealthy city. So let's take note that Smyrna as a city is wealthy, because we will be looking at the situation of the church in Smyrna later on in contrast to this. And then, there is also a large seaport in Smyrna like in Ephesus. And for the present, approximately 3 million are or 3 million is the population. And if you want to see Smyrna in the map, in modern-day Turkey, this is now called Izmir. So the place Izmir is the place Smyrna in the olden times. So Izmir is its modern name. And another surprising thing about the word Smyrna or about the city Smyrna, the word Smyrna means myrrh. And we are familiar with myrrh, right? It is a perfume used usually for healing. Sometimes this is also, not only sometimes, many times people in the olden times used myrrh as perfume to be used for the dead. Because during those times, embalming was not yet available. So they used myrrh to cover that foul smell of the remains. And what something beautiful about this is when you look at how myrrh is produced or how it is extracted, it comes from the trunk of a tree and it will be crushed, it will be hard pressed just to produce the myrrh. And if we will look at the church in Smyrna, somehow same description happened to them. They were hard pressed just to bring out something good in them. However, we are not trying to tie up that the church in Smyrna was, because of that situation, this name was given. Because I think the name Smyrna came first before the persecution in that church. Okay? So that's the church in Smyrna, very, very small background. But one thing for certain in that church is that it is a persecuted church. It is a church in tribulation. It is a church in persecution. So for today, we now go over the letter of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church. And the start of the letter, again, comes from the Lord mentioning who He is and what message He will be giving to the church. Let's read verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. So verse 8 gives two descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, we have also seen that the Lord introduced Himself to John as the first and the last who died and came to life in first chapter, verse 17. Remember when we were looking at the background of the book of Revelation, when we were saying that it was Jesus who was talking to John, giving the message, the Lord Jesus Christ gave different names to John. And these are two of the names that He gave to John. And as I have mentioned earlier, the name of the one who is writing the letter is very important because it will give authority. Okay? And the Lord Jesus Christ is very deliberate in using a particular name for each of the churches. He intentionally used these names for the church in Smyrna because he wanted to send comfort for them. Since the church is in persecution, the Lord, even in the introduction, was already encouraging them. He was already telling them, I am the first and the last who died and came to life. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, I am the first and the last, he was reminding them that he existed before time began and will exist even after everything else comes to an end. Jesus is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He existed before time began and he will exist until eternity future, which means he is the God who is omniscient, who is all-knowing. He is the God who knows everything. And even before time began, he has decreed everything. And let me repeat that part because that part is very important. As Jesus was declaring, I am the first and the last, he was declaring to the church in Smyrna, I have decreed everything even before time began. That means even the tribulation, even the persecution that the church in Smyrna was suffering during that time, the Lord decreed those things to them. Okay? So that's the part that Jesus introduced himself. I am the first and the last. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He also mentions there that who died and came to life. The Lord is the one who died and came to life. So what message was he giving to the church as he was introducing himself to them? I also suffered. I died, but I rose again. In other words, even in that introduction, the Lord was already telling the church, I know what you are going through. And in fact, I have experienced worse than what you are going through. Because I died, but I rose again. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I have preached that during my very first time teaching here. Diba ang 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that's the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And in that chapter, it mentions that because Christ has risen, then our faith is not in vain, our hope is not in vain. And because Christ rose from the dead, then we will also rise with him. So looking at those, introduction pa lang ng Panginoon for the church in Smyrna, the encouragement was already given to them. I am the first and the last, and I am who died and came to life. So I entitled that part as the Comforter because even as the Lord introduces himself to the church, he was already extending comfort to them. He was already extending comfort to them. If you will go back to the summary that I have given in the church of Ephesus, I used that portion as the challenger because Jesus was challenging the church in Ephesus. But for the church in Smyrna, the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to extend comfort to them because of what is happening to them. Then after introducing himself to them, let's now go to verse 9. Verse 9 reads, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Look at how verse 9 started. I know. So the next part of the outline is the commendation. So after Jesus introducing himself as the Comforter, he now gives the commendation, which is a common portion for all the letters. So in the church in Ephesus, the commendation given by the Lord Jesus Christ to them, I know your works, I know your toils, I know how you are protecting the word, I know how you are being so alert with teachings around you. So that was those were the commendations given by the Lord Jesus Christ in the church of Ephesus. And in the church in Smyrna, verse 9 starts with, I know. In some versions, particularly the New King James Version and the King James Version, you will read there, I know your works. It starts with that phrase, I know your works. And when the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned that to the church in Smyrna, He was mentioning to them, I know your faithfulness. So some might think, but why is it that in the other versions, we don't find the word works? But despite the absence of that word works in the other versions, because you will not find any condemnation or rebuke in the letter of the Lord for the church in Smyrna, it is implied that He was commending them for their faithfulness. Okay? So, walang condemnation, walang rebuke. It means the Lord was commending them for their faithfulness. Their faithfulness for what? Their faithfulness, what's the situation that they have there? They have tribulation. They have poverty. So, when we talk about the tribulation happening in the church in Smyrna, that portion particularly mentions the persecutions they are suffering. Well, the word tribulation, when we will look at the meaning, may also mean affliction, may also mean distress, anguish, and trouble. But primarily for the church of Smyrna, that word tribulation is referred to the persecution that they were going through. And as an evidence of that, one of the pastors of the church in Smyrna, well, we will not see this in the book of Acts, but this was documented by a student of that pastor named Polycarp. His student was Irenaeus, okay? So you have John, and then John became the pastor of Polycarp. Polycarp became the teacher or pastor of Irenaeus. So while Polycarp was the pastor of Irenaeus, Irenaeus was able to document some of the important things. And you will find this in the Book of Martyrs. And one persecution that Polycarp experienced was, during the time, the head of the Roman Empire was Caesar. And this head of the Roman Empire was trying to convince Polycarp to turn away from his faith, to blaspheme against his God. And in that discourse, Irenaeus was able to record the answer of Polycarp to Caesar. And this was his answer. 86 years have I served God for 86 years, and He has not done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? So that was his answer. So Caesar was trying to make Polycarp turn away from his faith. But Polycarp, even in his old age, was so faithful to his God that he answered this, 86 years I have served my God. My God has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? And you know what? What happened to Polycarp? He was tortured to death. He was burned to death. So that is one example of the persecution happening in the church in Smyrna. Their lives were at stake. Idolatry was one of the major problems in Smyrna. The Roman Empire was trying to let the church turn away from their faith. But the Lord commended them. I know your faithfulness. I know your faithfulness in tribulation. I even know your faithfulness in slander. Oh, I mean in poverty. Sorry. I know your faithfulness in poverty. And remember in the introduction I have mentioned that Smyrna is a very wealthy city. But despite Smyrna being a wealthy city, the church in Smyrna was a very poor church. And poverty there was defined as poverty of a beggar. And if you will look at the definition, poverty of a beggar, it sounds redundant. Poverty na nga, beggar pa. But that definition only gives the emphasis how poor the church is. And you know what? That word also means destitution, which means extreme poverty that one lacks the means to provide for oneself. And that poverty was a consequence of the persecution. Smyrna is rich, but the church in Smyrna is experiencing extreme poverty because of persecution. That only means that the Roman Empire commanded the people in Rome not to support the church in Smyrna in whatever services or business that they offer. That's why the church in Smyrna became so poor because of the persecution that they have experienced. But the Lord reminded them, despite your tribulation, despite the poverty that you are going through, remember, you are rich. The Lord was commending them, remember this, you are rich. You are rich in what? You are rich in honor. Because despite all these testings that you are going through, you are faithful. Therefore, in honor, you are rich. You are rich in the graces which sufferings bring. If I will ask you who among us here would like to go through sufferings, I don't think so that people here will raise their hands and say, I love to have sufferings. But when we experience sufferings in our lives, and when we survive those sufferings, and even in the midst of those sufferings, isn't it, we always find the grace of God helping us through those sufferings. And that was one thing the Lord Jesus Christ was reminding them. You are rich in the graces which sufferings bring. And of course, that message of the Lord for them was also reminding them that you have eternal inheritance. The Lord was just reminding them, you are but pilgrims of this earth. These sufferings, these tribulations, these testings, these things will end. Remember, you have an eternal inheritance. Your life here on earth is not the real life that I have given you. It is the life after this life, the life in eternity. So that's how the Lord Jesus Christ commended them. I know your tribulations. I know your faithfulness in tribulations, in poverty. And remember, you are rich. And it continues, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. So once again, the Lord knows the slander that's being done to them by those people that say that they are Jews but are not. But when I was looking at some commentaries mentioned that the Jews being mentioned here are real Jews, but not believers. So they say that they are Jews, they are believers, but in fact, they are not believers. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ described them but are a synagogue of Satan, or they are the dwelling place of Satan. Look at that description of the Lord Jesus Christ for the unbelievers. They are the dwelling place of Satan. And hearing that from the Lord, if you are in the church of Smyrna, you will be blessed because you know that you are in Christ. Therefore, you are not part of the dwelling place of Satan because you are in Christ. So that's how the Lord commended them. Now, let's proceed further. The Lord now extends His comfort. Since the church was going through persecution, so the Lord introduces Himself as the comforter. He commends them, and now He extends His comfort. And going back to the first part of verse 9, the first bullet for the comfort is, there is power we can find in the one giving the comfort to them. So the power of the comforter. And in verse 9a, again, we have the phrase, I know, meaning the Lord is omniscient, the Lord is all-knowing, the Lord is omnipresent. In other words, the Lord was telling them, I am on top of this situation. I know what you are going through. I know all this. So the Lord continues, verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Look at that statement of the Lord for the church. Do not fear. Literally can be translated as stop being afraid. The Lord was encouraging them. The Lord was extending His comfort to them. And the Lord was saying to them, stop being afraid. I know you are going through tribulations, persecutions right now. But the Lord is saying, do not fear, because I am your God. I am with you. I know everything. And as we go further to verse 10, look at what the Lord mentions to them. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. The Lord knows what is still about to happen to them. And again, that's a display of God's power to them, that He is indeed omniscient, that He is indeed the God who is the first and the last, the God who knows everything, and the God who has decreed everything. The Lord knows the things that they are, what they are about to suffer, and behold, the Lord mentions to them, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. And when I was meditating upon this line of this passage, I was just reminded of Job. And in Job 1:8, the Lord tells Satan, have you considered my servant Job? So similarly, when the Lord Jesus Christ was sending His message to the church in Smyrna, He was reminding them, apart from my approval, apart from my wisdom, these things will not happen to you. I know everything. In fact, I have decreed everything even before time began. And Satan cannot move without my approval. So, with what will happen to you, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. I know these things. But stop being afraid of these things. And also, while I was meditating upon that passage, looking at the situation again, isn't it, John was the one writing this, receiving the message from the Lord. And where was John? He was in Patmos. Why? He was in exile because of persecution. Because of being so faithful in teaching the word of the Lord. He was put into exile. So I'm sure that while John was receiving this message from the Lord also ministered to John. Well, it's not written in the chapter, but I'm sure that was also one purpose of the Lord for that message. You are in exile, but I know this. I know your very situation. So, I know these things. Do not fear. So, that's the power of the one who gives comfort. He knows what we are going through. He knows what the church in Smyrna is going through. And he is on top of the situation. Therefore, he mentions to them, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Stop being afraid. And if you will proceed with verse 10, you will see the purpose of all these trials in the church of Smyrna. Look at the second part of verse 10. That you may be tested. Very powerful phrase. That you may be tested. So there we now find the purpose of all the tribulations and trials the church of Smyrna were going through. What they were going through. That's the main purpose. For them to be tested. And when the Lord puts us to test, remember, He's doing that not to harm us, but to strengthen our faith. So that's where I got the title, that the tribulation, that's a catalyst to faith. Tribulation is used to strengthen our faith. And even if you will read that line, that you may be tested, that would also mean that our God is not a capricious God. He's not a God who is acting on impulse. But instead, He is the God who is sovereign. He is the God of perfect wisdom. He knows everything. He knows what is best for us. That's why even before time began, He has already decreed everything. So do you now see the importance why He introduced Himself? I am the first and the last. Because that introduction alone to the church was already a statement, I know everything that you are going through. I am in control of everything that you are going through. I have decreed everything that you are going through. I am the sovereign God over the affairs of your lives. And I am doing this so that you may be tested or your faith may be tested. Let's continue on. From there, the Lord now tells them, and for 10 days, you will have tribulation. So after giving them the purpose, your faith will be tested because of all these tribulations. But wait, there's more. The Lord mentions now, for 10 days, you will have tribulation. Some people say that the 10 days would mean literal 10 days of tribulation. Some say that the 10 days there refers to 10 seasons of tribulations for the church in Smyrna. But if you will look at the context of the letter, in the introduction, the Lord was telling them that He is the God who is infinite, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And here, the Lord is now telling them, for 10 days you will have tribulation. So He is now mentioning to them, there is an element of time in your tribulation. In other words, the 10 days would mean your tribulation will soon come to an end. It will not be eternal. It will come to an end. It will soon come to pass. But if you will look at what happened to Polycarp. The persecution may not end before the members of the church die. Because sometimes death is the means to bring an end to that persecution. But still, there will be an end. Pwedeng magkaroon ng katapusan, yung persecution, tribulation, before we die, or our death may be the means to end that persecution or tribulation. But remember what Paul said, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. So if I'll end this life here on earth, it's gain. It's gain for me. So the Roman Empire may see the situation that the situation that they are giving the church in Smyrna as something difficult. Well, it's really difficult, but they purpose it for something bad, but God meant it for good. Diba? And that's how sovereign and wise our God is. The enemy might try things that would be intended for our harm, but because of God, it is for our good. That's how sovereign our God is. Okay, so sorry for the presentation. I don't know what's happening with our PowerPoint presentation. But anyway, let's continue. So that's for the period. So for 10 days, you will have tribulation. You have there the element of time. That tribulation, that testing will also soon come to an end. And now the Lord gives them the challenge. Still in verse 10, we will see now the challenge that the Lord gives to the church. First, He gives them the direction. And where do we find that? So after mentioning those things that will happen to them, last part of verse 10, let's read that. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So what's the direction of the Lord to them? Be faithful. Be continually be faithful. So if you will look at how that sentence was constructed, being faithful is not a one-time thing, but it should be a continuous process in our lives. And that's the same message that He was giving to the church in Smyrna. Despite all the things that you are experiencing, remain faithful. Remain steadfast. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't surrender to the enemy. Don't surrender to the enemy. And how long should we be faithful? The very last part of verse 10, until death. Until death. I have mentioned earlier that the tribulation, the persecution, the difficulties will soon come to an end, but we don't know when. If it comes before our death, let's be faithful still after the tribulation has passed. If that persecution, tribulation, challenge, problem will come to an end because of our death, still we must be faithful up to our last breath. And that was the challenge given to the church. So the Lord knows their hearts. The Lord knows that there will be the tendency to give up, to quit, to turn away. But the Lord was encouraging them, no, I am here. I know all the things that you are going through. These things will soon come to pass. But be faithful. Remain faithful. Continually be faithful. Until death. Until death. And I know we can say we've been faithful in our lives, one time or another. But the command here is to be faithful until death. So again, you will see here the contrast. Our tribulation will be for 10 days. There's a time element. It will come to an end. But our faithfulness to the Lord must be until death. See the contrast. And the Lord now gives the consolation. And what's the consolation He gives? Verse 10, third part. And I will give you the crown of life. So for those who will endure the testings, the tribulations, the persecutions, for those who will remain faithful until death, I will give you the crown of life. And the analogy here is like an athlete in the past wherein after finishing that race, he will be rewarded that wreath, that crown. So in here, as we battle in this life, if we will remain faithful, then the consolation that we will receive from the Lord is He will crown us the crown. He will give us the crown of life. And also from verse 11b, let's jump to verse 11, second part. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. So the one who remains faithful, the one who is truly mine, the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. So what's the first death? The physical death. What's the second death? The spiritual death. The tribulation, the persecution may kill them. That's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church in Smyrna. The persecution may bring your life to an end, but if you will conquer, you will receive eternal. I will give you the crown of life. So the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. So look at the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was reminding them, your life here on earth is but temporal. True life is in eternity with me. And if you will just be faithful, I will give you the crown of life. And then, the convocation. Once again, we hear this portion. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I have already mentioned the meaning of this in the first part when this was also mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ in the church of Ephesus. And I have mentioned there that this line was mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ in the parables, meaning for those who are His, definitely they will hear His message. And if you are His, then listen to His encouragement. For those who are not His, they will not understand this message. For those who are not His, they will not understand the meaning of the tribulations, the persecutions, the difficulties. But for His children, His purpose is to test their faith, to strengthen their faith. And finally, our conclusion. For our conclusion, how will we apply this then to our lives as a church, as individual believers? I think no one among us here have experienced what the church in Smyrna experienced. Maybe no one among us will even experience what they really have experienced. Okay? We might not suffer persecution in this life. The way Church of Smyrna experienced persecution. But as tribulation was defined earlier as affliction, distress, anguish, trouble, I know some of us, many of us, will surely go through testings and trials. And isn't it that in James chapter 1, verse 2, what's the predicament of believers? Diba? We always love to embrace the promises of God. James 1:2 gives us a promise. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. So that's a promise to us that we will experience trials and tribulations as well. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Again, you will find there, be patient in tribulation. And the verse read by our worship leader earlier today, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will surely experience tribulation, persecution in your lives. So if you are not experiencing persecution, you might as well ask already, am I in the faith? Because that's a promise for all believers. We will all go through times of testings, times of difficulties. And like how the Lord Jesus Christ encouraged the church in Smyrna, maybe right now you're going through a time of difficulty. Maybe you are going through a time where you want to question God. Lord, why is this happening to me, to my family, to my job, to my ministry, to my church? Maybe you have so many questions. But rest assured, God is sovereign. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. He has decreed everything in our lives. Some of these things we may not even understand right now. We may not even receive the answers to these questions in this lifetime. But still, God is sovereign. If there is one message for us today, let's remember that. God is in control. When I was looking at the part when the Lord encouraged the church, do not fear. Stop being afraid. I just smiled and said, Lord, if you will test this message in my life, I hope I'll be able to apply this again, like how you have tested me in 2019. But praise God that He encouraged the church in Smyrna so that we might also be encouraged. And when we are in the point that we want to ask God, Lord, why? Why am I going through this difficulty? Why am I going through this problem? Why am I going through this tribulation? Revelation 2:10. What's the purpose? For our faith to be strengthened. For our faith to be tested. And the Lord promised, do not fear. I know everything that you are going through. So what are His promises? 1 Corinthians 10:13. I remember this verse because this was the very first message I have preached here in Guiding Light. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God will not give us something that we cannot bear. All the things that we are going through, this is but common to all men. But when we are tested, what was His promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13? He will make a way out, a way of escape for us. Let's not forget that promise of God in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Whatever difficulties we have, God knows it. And He will provide a way out for us. Open also your Bibles to Isaiah 43:2. Isaiah 43:2. What was the promise of the Lord for His people? Diba sabi niya ron, let's open our Bibles there. Isaiah 43. Very familiar passage. 43, maybe we can include verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And here now is the promise. After mentioning that we are His, that we are His children, fear not, for I, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. There is the promise of tribulation. When we became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were never promised a life of bed of roses. There will be tribulations, there will be testings. But look at that promise in verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. What else? Romans 8, another very familiar passage for us. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Let's go to that passage. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Will you please read that again? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, our Lord. Amen. And of course, Revelation 2:11, which we have read earlier. So brethren, the Lord sent this message to the Church of Smyrna. He wants to send His comfort to them. But these messages were also written so that we will also be able to see those messages applied to our lives now. So I don't know who among you are going through times of difficulties right now. But let the letter of the Lord for the church in Smyrna encourage you. So may I now ask you to please find a prayer partner. So I know it's Zone Sunday, but we still have time. Please find a partner that you can share the insights that you have learned from this teaching. Tigdalawa lang po. Tigdalawa lang. Please make sure you have a partner. So make sure you give time also to your partner, the time to share. Then after your sharing, make sure you close your time with a prayer. You must be praying by this time already. So if you're through, please go back to your seats. So please bring those prayers to a close. Let's go back to our seats. So before we end the service, Please forgive me, natabunan kanina nung announcement sheet itong sa first-timers. Once again, welcome to Kyle. But I saw three visitors earlier. Their names are not here. But anyway, for our visitors, we hope that this will not be the first and the last attendance of yours in this church. So before we end in prayer, may I ask everybody to please rise. Let's sing this song, the last song that we have sung earlier. For you are glorious. Indeed, our Lord is glorious. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is Jesus who suffered, who died for our sins. He rose again so that we might be given hope. We might be given resurrected bodies as well. He suffered for us, for our sins. He paid the penalty of our sins. He saved us. So if the greatest problem that we have in this life, He has already given His life as the solution. Remember, brethren, the tribulations, the testings, all this will come to pass. But for now, let's worship our Lord. He's worthy. Our Lord is glorious.
For you are glorious, best praise offering that He deserves. Hallelujah, we praise You.
You are our conquering King, Lord. Thank You that You are our hope. Thank You that You are our life. Thank You that You are our God. The God who is all-knowing. The God who is sovereign over all things. The God who is good and who does good. Thank You, Lord, that You have decreed everything. Thank You that You are the God who is not capricious, but You are the God who is merciful, gracious, abounding in loving kindness. And Lord, we pray that the message that You have given to the church of Smyrna will minister to us, will continue to speak to our hearts, that we will trust that You are sovereign, that whatever we are going through, Lord, may we be faithful to You and to Your word. May You find us faithful. Oh God, thank You that You are our help. Father, as we give of our tithes and offering, let our giving be a form of worship. May we give with joy in our hearts. You know the needs of this church. We pray for the offerings that will be given today. Multiply this, Lord, for the furtherance of Your work in and through this church. Thank You, Lord, for You are our great provider. Thank You, Lord, that You are always there supplying our needs. We bless You. And Father, for everyone who has come this morning, I pray that You will dismiss them with Your love. We bless You, and we are careful to bring back all glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.